Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto, and his mama cries.
'Cause if there's one thing that she don't need, it's another hungry mouth to feed.
That was just so damn good.
Play it again.
Damn it, I will.
No. this program is about having fun.
Oh, God, it is. But Jesus. Guys, you know why we're playing this song today and these two voices. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. But good morning, everybody, good morning. Welcome in. And, of course, happy Saturday to all of you in the room today. It's a man-witch. Basically. So, I got my partner there.
Hello.
Oh, she's loving it too. She goes, ooh, I'm a man witch. All
you're,
right.
You're calling Camlin a witch?
She's a man witch.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Not a witch.
Not a witch. She's a man witch. So, now there's my partner there, Forrest Hartel.
Hello.
And, got Camlin Jackson with us.
Good morning.
And I am Sean Roberts, and this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from the Orange County ghetto. If you are new...
Santa Ana.
Watch out. This program's about having fun. We talk about the past week we had and have a few laughs.
Oh, absolutely, man. That's right. You know, God, where am I? I don't know. Laughing at all the things that we experience in everyday life, the embarrassment things, like right now. The silly things, the awkward things, like right now. Even the things that we're afraid to talk about, but damn it, we still do.
Those things that make us human, and as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
Damn right it is. And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show and join in the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website at yourweeklydose.com.
Or on Twitter or Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or send us an email, yourweeklydose1 at gmail.com.
Yes, because we love to get emails from you guys. Oh, gosh, we got a lot of things going on. 10:30, we're going to be talking with our buddy Paul Preston, of course, from themovieguys.net. We got a new segment going on. Campbell Jackson is going to be doing What's Trending. And, of course, topics today are going to be everything, things that we do that are rude. Who knew? But I think they're pretty obvious, though. Kids embarrass their parents through certain types of pictures that they drew. We got funny signs today, and we also have a new sponsor later on as well.
Nice. Hey, you can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and please tell your friends and enemies to rate and review the show.
Absolutely, because, you know, frenemies are a very important thing. Today's theme song, of course, is In the Ghetto by, God, I hate to say this, man, the late, great Elvis Presley and the late Lisa Marie. Mm-hmm. Can't believe she's gone. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on, but, God, this thing has really hit me hard and affected me. I mean, I haven't been this affected on a celebrity's death since Robin Williams.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and I was just bummed for like the next week when Robin died.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was that for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's my favorite actor. So that was.
Did you ever see him do the Actor's Studio?
I feel like maybe I've seen clips of it, but I haven't watched it.
You gotta watch the whole thing.
Okay.
If you can go to the website, the Actor Studio, they sell all the DVDs.
Okay.
That is the number one selling DVD of theirs.
Wow.
And I mean, Robin is just freaking phenomenal.
Yeah.
In it.
Don't doubt it.
And Lipton, it's like 5 to 7 minutes into it before Lipton even gets to ask his first question.
That also sounds right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and but I mean, he covers everything.
Wow.
You know, and Robin is Robin. Mm. You know, in this whole thing, but it definitely gives you a little bit insight of the sanity of it. And I've had the pleasure of meeting that man twice.
Oh, wow.
And just a quick handshake and, you know, pleasure to meet you kind of a thing or whatever. And I think one of the most kind-hearted person I've ever met.
That's what it always seemed like.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to meet. The first time I met him was at Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh, okay.
And it turned out that my roommate and where I shared my dressing room at lived with Robin when Robin first came down to San Francisco. And he was, you know, trying to, you know, land a job basically in Hollywood. So they were roommates for about 6 months when he landed the job on Happy Days. And of course, then that changed, turned into Mork and Mindy.
Sure. Mork from Mork.
Yeah, exactly. And he said that Robin was just incredible back then. And here, Jimmy Shannon, my roommate, was an actor, you know, trying to do the same thing and everything, doing commercials like you and so forth and what have you. But he was working as a clown, doing sleight of hand at Knott's Berry Farm. And Robin was there at the park, whatever. And then later on, I guess Jimmy got word to our bosses or whatever and told them. And then Robin came up later on with his family at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, very quiet, reserved or whatever, but then tried to be Robin Williams at the same token, you know. But so I got to see a little bit of both sides, the quiet Robin and him being Robin. Mm-hmm. And then the next time I saw him was when I got to be a seat filler at the Academy Awards.
Oh,
I've got stories for you on that one, too.
Oh, cool.
So, but I haven't been this affected on a celebrity's death since Robin, you know. Yeah, and this one with Lisa Marie just, boy, it just hit me. Mm-hmm. It hit me really, really hard. So anyway, so with that being said, should we catch up with each other?
Let's catch up.
All right, let's go ahead and do that. camera, I'll give you 10 points. You can figure out what the theme is.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Probably past, you know, definitely before you were born.
Okay.
This is from the theme from Soap. It was a sitcom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Yeah. 70s sitcom.
70s, right? early 70s sitcom.
Yeah.
That starred a very young Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal.
Oh, cool.
Who was the first actor to portray a gay character on television.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was sort of a comic version of soap operas. Like when, yeah. And
it was a parody.
Week, yeah, a parody.
A parody on like daytime soap operas.
Oh.
And they just simply called it Soap.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
It was a fun show. Fun show.
Yeah, very fun show.
That's great.
So, partner, how was your week? Anything exciting?
Nothing exciting too much, except I did, speaking of commercials, I booked a commercial I'll be doing tomorrow up in Chatsworth.
Oh, my God.
So I've got to find out when I'm got to be there and make the long,
7
long trek.
7 a.m.
Right? I'll be on the freeway in the dark, probably driving up to some ranch in Chatsworth where we'll be playing cavemen.
No cowboys?
No cowboys, but cavemen.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
I was
going to
say, if you're playing cowboys, I give you my guns and my belts and my hat and everything.
No, if you have any cavemen gear, if you have a bear skin or something, I'll
I'm about as big as a bear.
No, well, but can I throw you over me? And
Hey. You know, do that.
So, yeah, that's kind of my big thing coming up here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
There's an old Abbott Costello joke that says, you ever hunted bear before? No, I can't. Why? The bushes tickle me. Yep.
Because you're
a bear.
Yeah,
exactly. Because,
right. Yeah. Right. It took me a second.
Yeah. I didn't get it.
You've got to send pictures in your caveman outfit.
I will.
And we've got to post that on Instagram.
I will if they'll let me. I will.
They should.
Sometimes they're like NDA or
well, just be in your dressing room and go click. Yeah, you know, and don't tell them.
You're assuming I have a dressing room?
Well, you know,
like
your
with
car.
My name. Yeah, my car. Okay.
Well, that's what it was for me when I did the filming out in Lancaster. That was my dressing room, was my car.
My car. All right, I'll do a selfie in the car or something.
Look, caveman driving.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be like, was it on that Geico commercial? So Geico commercial, the caveman?
Those guys got a sitcom out of it, too.
Just, yeah. Speaking one, of Geico. One season.
Yeah, it did not last very long.
No, it didn't.
But, I remember the caveman. I forgot about those old Geico commercials.
Yeah, we were just talking about a Geico commercial before the show.
Yeah.
So
they've been doing them for a long time now.
That's funny. They've been around for years.
Now they're just with that lizard that's like.
Gecko and the Geico.
The Gecko, yeah.
Yeah, the Gecko,
yeah.
It does what it needs to do.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's a, what do they call it, a mascot or...
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird how the insurance companies are all like comedy driven and all like very. Have you noticed like they all have some spokesman. They're all like comedy driven and they're just like always on TV.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I think because it kind of shows the ridiculousness. I mean, look at was it the guy who? Oh God, what's it, the actor that came out in the Spider-Man films?
Simmons.
Simmons, J.K. Simmons, and he does what, Allstate or whatever?
Yeah, one of Farmers.
Or
yeah.
Farmers, yeah.
I guess because insurance is so boring that you have to liven it up with comedy, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can't have a serious insurance commercial.
Right, no one would watch that.
No one would
I've got to find it and show it to you guys, but my son, Roman, his godfather did a Mercury insurance.
Mercury. Oh yeah.
And it's if you remember the different commercials that they had, this is the one where the girl goes to this medieval thing or whatever, and the drawbridge comes down, and all of these guys like dressed as knights or whatever, you know, or villagers, they walk over her car. Basically.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
And Gino is like the last one. And Gino's a big, big guy. Okay. And so he is like the last person to come out. And he's like yelling, whatever. And he's having trouble getting over the car itself. But he goes from the trunk to the hood. I got to show you that.
Oh, nice.
It's freaking hysterical.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see that.
It is freaking hysterical.
Yeah.
So go out and commercial, and that's good, man.
Yeah, that's good. Other than that, we started the first week of spring semester at teaching.
I'm
back teaching.
Yes.
So I'm working a little bit and acting and teaching. So, yeah. That's the sound I hear every time I walk on campus.
Just. Or even walk on the door.
Yes.
You walk in the door.
Yes.
Like, wow, there you are.
Grand entrance there.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Thank you so much.
You know, of course, in the student's mind, though, they're kind of going...
Oh, yeah. I just hold them hostage for 3 hours and let them go.
Yeah, exactly. Until you hear... you know.
You're having too much fun with that.
I am. See, we haven't had these in a while. So these are good. It's comedy gold.
That's right.
You know, lowbrow. Always lowbrow.
Lowbrow.
All right. Lowbrow. Never highbrow.
No.
Never highbrow, because highbrow's too high.
That's right.
Yeah. Gotta go lowbrow.
Gotta go low.
That's the best.
Right?
That's the middleman comedy right there.
Not middle. Low.
Well, low, you got to go low for low man. To get the middle man.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. No low man?
Oh, that's too low.
That's too low.
That's too low. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I'm going to write this down.
Kemlyn, how was your week?
It was good. It was another week of work and another week of school. I'm in my, like, I'm over halfway through my winter session, so that's good. One more week of it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, last night I had...
Yes, tell us about it. Last night you did what?
I...
Wait. Let's set the theme here.
Oh, boy, we need sounds. What?
Oh, yeah.
This is a little...
Okay.
Yeah, this is good, because last night she got down to some serious business.
That's right. I sure did. Last night, I enjoyed myself asleep.
I get fiebre.
Yep, that's actual recording, folks. From last night. No, we're kidding now. All right, tell everybody what you did. Tell everybody what you did.
Suspense is killing me.
I know. Last night, I had a sleep study done.
Hmm?
Yes, to test to see if I suffer from sleep apnea or other sleeping disorders.
Wow.
It was very interesting. I went to the doctor's office in Newport Beach, and it was like a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite nice. I had a private bathroom. And there was a TV.
Well, it's Newport Beach. What do you expect? You know,
I mean,
high end.
What can I say?
Yeah, high end.
It was not the ghetto of Orange County.
It was definitely
at all.
Not the ghetto.
Was it Santa Ana or Garden Grove? You know?
Right.
But yeah, I got hooked up to all these probes, and there were wires everywhere. And
how awkward was that?
It was so weird. I got they put me in a chair and they set me all up, uh-huh. And then I had to get up with all of those things connected to me and like lay down in the bed. Uh-oh. And they were like, "Okay, good night." And I was like, "Oh, okay, bye. I'll just be here then."
Can you toss and turn, or
I was able to like just enough turn on either side to not feel like I was on my back anymore. Type of thing.
Okay.
But it was like a three-quarter turn because I could feel the wires pulling a little bit. Obviously, nothing was like inside my skin, so it didn't hurt or anything, but it was not comfortable to
like a heart monitor point. Kind of thing, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, I had heart monitors. There was one on my stomach. They were all over my face, all over my head, two on each leg.
She looked like the insides of C-3PO, you know, like in the first Star Wars film. So.
Precog or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did they give you melatonin or sleeping pills, or it has to be natural sleep?
No. Yeah, they wanted it to be as natural as possible. Waking up this morning, I slept for like a good chunk last night, and then I kind of like 3 o'clock I woke up, 4 o'clock I woke up, and then 6 o'clock I woke up, and it was about 10 minutes later they came and took
those are the same hours I had to pee this morning too.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I had to do that too. And so there was like a speaker, and so I was just like, "Hello," and she was like, "Hello," and I was like, "Oh, I have to go to the bathroom." And so she had to come in and like unhook me from a couple things, and then I had to like take everything with me to the bathroom.
Oh God,
I
hope you didn't electrocute yourself
while she was like waiting. So there's no electricity.
No wires
in
the toilet.
Really good. Yeah, there's no electricity, which is really good. It was, you know, they give you a lot of information before to like make sure that you're not scared. Uh-huh. But there's no electricity. It's sensing the electricity like the
in your body
going
itself.
Through your body.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm not hooked up to any like electric thing. And anyway, so she waited for me while I was in the bathroom, and then I got back in bed, and then she was gone and woke up this morning at like 6:15. Uh-huh. They unhooked me from everything and I was good to go.
So someone's watching you while this is all.
There's a camera.
Really?
Watching me.
Those perverts.
Sweet. Behind the one-way mirror or something.
That's what I told my wife. I was like, what if it's a two-way or a one-way mirror?
Yeah.
I'm going to know that they're there. But no, it's just like a camera at the end of, like kind of at the end of the bed on the wall.
Uh-huh.
Just watching you.
Ceiling.
Yeah.
I mean, just
observing. Yeah.
Just watching.
Weird.
Waiting.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting experience, but I kind of felt like I slept like normal, which is good for the sleep study, right?
Right.
So
hopefully.
I think I've been supposedly should have done one of those a while back too, but I've lost a little bit of weight. So I'm like going, okay, I don't snore, I think, as much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you have to ask my wife. I don't know. Because, you know, because there's times where when I get, that's when you know I'm actually in a good sleep is when I'm snoring big
deep,
time.
Deep sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, you know, when she goes down to the couch.
You know? When you wake up alone, you know that you sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I had a woman next to me, but I don't know where she went.
You inhaled her.
Maybe I did. Did I leave money on the dresser? I don't remember. There's nothing there. Maybe she took it. I don't know.
My watch is also gone.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually don't snore. Well, my wife say too.
Okay.
She says I don't snore.
She's not being nice.
No, she's not just being nice. Okay. I know, right? No, I wake myself up because I'm not breathing.
Does the Apple Watch or what?
I know.
See, I've woken myself up because I've snored.
Mm.
You know, where,
but mine's like I'm like, and I'm like gasping for.
Ooh, breath. Oh, okay, that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the scary sleep apnea there. That's the serious shit.
So I thought maybe I'd talk to a doctor.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Good.
You were going to say something else? Or?
No. I forgot if I did. It probably wasn't important. Yeah, it wasn't one of those.
I like the way you're dressed today, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You know, you got like just a regular t-shirt, which is cool. It's what we always wear.
Yeah.
We got like the little beanie. Like
I got a football beanie on.
Got
the head. Keep the head warm.
Yeah, keep the head warm and everything.
It's a little wet outside in Orange County.
It is here.
It does. It's got the, is that what you call it? A pom-pom?
I don't know. That's
a poofy. The poofy at the
poofy.
Top. Yeah.
Do you Milwaukee want a pom-pom or a poofy?
Either are good.
It's a poofy pom-pom.
My beanie. My poofy beanie. For the Milwaukee Bucks. Representing my Bucks here.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're only worth 50 cents, but that's okay.
Hey. How was your week, Sean?
It was kind of quiet at work. Things are starting to slow down a little bit. But the funny thing I was noticing is that every time I came back from lunch, because I start at 7, I take my lunch at 11, you know, because it's the 4 hours later or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I take a little bit earlier lunch than usual. As soon as I come back, there's like 12 phone calls in the queue.
Hmm.
Every day this past week, you know, it starts off with like nobody's in the queue at 7. And then one comes in like maybe 45 minutes later. After I'm done with that one, I may wait a half an hour or whatever, you know, and then go to lunch. And the next thing I know, there's 12 in the queue. And all of a sudden, it's like, boom, boom, boom. I'm taking, you know, 4, 5, 6 calls.
Mm-hmm. Are these local? Are they national world?
National calls.
So you get to talk to people from all over?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I talked to a guy yesterday from the south side of Chicago.
Okay.
And I said, oh, what part? And he told me, I forgot what part he told me, though. But I said, oh, he goes, are you familiar? I said, well, I got friends in Blue Island and I got friends in Chicago Heights. He goes, oh, yeah. That's the tough part of the town. I said, that's the one that Jim Croce talked about.
Leroy Brown came
Leroy
from
Brown,
there?
Yeah, absolutely. But I talked to a guy from Arizona.
Okay.
Yesterday, you know, so he goes, yeah, he goes, where am I calling? I said, Southern California, sir. He goes, well, I'm calling from Arizona. And I just kind of went, Arizona. Started cracking up. He knew the song or whatever. So I was like, you know, okay. But I talked to different people all over.
Nice.
You know, and of course, we try to cover as many products as we can, everything from the audio visual stuff, which is the majority of our calls, but also instruments. So when I get calls or I get questions on the web regarding instruments, that's when I get excited.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, God, it's not my territory. I know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to the receivers or whatever. Try this. I don't know. Plug it in.
Yeah, I'd want to get you on the phone if I needed help, because sometimes they don't know what they're reading out of a manual or something. And
it is amazing on how many people out there. Please, people, read the manuals. Please. Please read the manuals. Some manuals, I will agree, they are written very, very poorly, you know. But other than that, if you don't know, I was talking to one of my colleagues, and the person actually called in where he's gotten a question. What is the difference between clicking your mouse on the left to the right?
Okay.
It hasn't changed since the mouse was invented 35 years ago. If you don't know that, I'm going to take your computer away and you don't deserve anything. I mean, we actually have gotten these questions.
Yeah, right click, left click. Yeah.
What's a thumb drive? Mm. Give me that. You don't deserve this then.
Yeah.
You know, how do I do this? You know, I always go to the manual.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at it. Let's read it, because I've got to learn these things too.
Yeah.
You know? So, and then I take mental notes or whatever, but I had some people who just didn't understand it. you know, and I go, okay, let's read it together.
Yeah.
You know, let's
say
read
it with
together.
Me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, turn to page 58. Here right. we go. But I mean, it's what I realized too, though, is that a lot of our customers who buy the audiovisual stuff, the home entertainment stuff, whatever, I would say a good 70% of them, though, are people who are 65 or older.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So there's that gap of, and I was talking to this one guy yesterday. He was probably in his 70s or so, like late 60s, early 70s, just the sound of the guy's voice. And I could tell that he kind of given up on technology. And he and I kind of briefly talked about that because there's going to become a certain point in time in our lives where we just won't understand the technology. It's mm-hmm. surpassed us. And we just I get to an age where we just go, fuck it, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I give up. I give up. I'm going to have to ask myself, Mijo, how do I work? Plug it in, Dad. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm just going to stop because I'm the technology surpassed me. But yet, to me, it's like we need to stay up with that technology and how things are operating.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. My mom is at that point. She's just like, if it's more than one step, she tunes me out and goes, no, I don't know. Like the input and source on a TV remote, you mm-hmm. hit source. And then as soon as I say, and then she goes,
Yeah. There's two steps, one step too many.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah. It's like, come on, you can do this. I believe in you. No, nope.
Yeah. They just shut down, You know, and for you and I, we're in that generation that is the last link between the greatest generation.
The boomers and the...
You know, because, I mean, I remember in high school, of course, and you're 10 years younger than I am, but I was in the generation where that's when computers came into the classroom for the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're talking 86, 87, 88. We were getting the Apple green screen computers.
The 2E,
They were.
Yeah, we had one.
You know.
We had the one computer.
Yeah. And you had to take computer whatever, you know, to understand it all. You know, and then it sounded like the guy from War Games when they hooked it up to the box. You know, shall we play a game? You know. Hello, Sean.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's what I'd play Oregon Trail on. You've died,
right, exactly.
You've died of dysentery.
Dysentery. Ha 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 ha. You know. Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. You lose again.
Yep.
That's exactly what
that
it
was
is.
Advanced. We were living in the future back then. We were like, oh my god.
Yeah, you know, and of course, I remember watching War Games, too, whatever, mm-hmm. where Matthew Broderick, you know, looks for, like, a piece of metal or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then he undoes the phone and then...
Makes a free call or whatever.
Makes a free call. I'm like, I gotta try that!
I think every kid tried that. Yeah.
I think so, too. So, yeah.
I have no idea what you're
talking about. You know Matthew Broderick, but...
Yes, I do. I do know him. I did play Oregon Trail, though.
Uh-huh.
We all had our own computers.
Yeah. Lucky.
Shared one.
We were all huddled around one, like, we want to eat. Feed us. No, we don't have enough
and
food.
Even with all of you still died. Yeah.
Entire family.
Malnutrition. What's that?
We had an unpolitically correct, politically incorrect version that I noticed they changed later on. They had Indians that would approach and it would say, are they friendly or hostile? And then you would guess whether the Indians were friendly or hostile.
Well, depending. Were you messing up their territory or were you going across their grave sites?
Trying to get to Oregon. But if I said friendly and then I say, wrong, they were hostile. They killed you all. And then I noticed in later versions, they took that out.
I don't remember that, for
good reasons, you know, but yeah.
Why? Because it's the truth?
Yeah. I mean, there's some.
Oh, no. All Indians are nice.
Let's sweep up.
They don't scalp
up
everybody.
Well, they swept up a lot of, they cleaned a lot of the history there, sidestepped some facts there. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It wasn't so educational.
I was going to say there could have been a better way to tell the truth.
There probably was. There probably was. They weren't telling it back then.
Yeah. I don't know. That's pretty straightforward. Were they friendly? Were they hostile? That's.
We were always the good guys. It was never like, were the Americans friendly or hostile? Yes, they were.
That's the point. That was always from our
perspective. Yeah.
What's it called when we moved out west? There was a certain terminology for it.
The frontiers?
The frontier, but it was...
The pioneers?
Manifest destiny.
Oh, that right. We were supposed to have this land.
Yeah. No matter what.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, we were supposed to have it. Well, we bought part of it from the French. and you know who who took it over anyway. Yeah. So you know,
and then we just took California from Mexico.
Right.
So
right, exactly.
Oh, we need a sound effect to help lighten the mood here.
Oh,
we
need, get out of here.
We need something, is what we need. That's for damn sure. No matter what, you know. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what is coming up though.
Woo-hoo.
If I can find the damn thing, here we go. Where is it? I haven't. Okay, Casey's not here, so now I've got to run the freaking board. You know, is what it is. And now I got to figure out where's everything, and I don't know where everything is, and that's okay.
Let's
so,
play the technical difficulties beep.
Technical difficulties is me. That's what it is. So I just got to fight, run, and here we go. I'm just gonna go with this one because I think it's the wrong one, but I don't care. Because we know this theme, no matter what the way it is. Because we got our buddy, our friend, our pal, our fourth leg, Mr. Paul Preston on the phone from the Movie Guys. Hey, Paul.
Hey-o.
How are you, buddy?
Fourth leg. What are we, a hyena or a lion or something? are we not men?
We got four legs in front and hind legs in back.
What up, gang?
Hey.
What's up, brother? Say hi to our new co-host here.
The one who took the sleep study.
Yes.
I did do that.
I'm so glad you're there, because I did the same thing a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
And it's not like you sleep well. So good to see you on the show.
Yeah. I know. I was like, I wonder how I'm going to be. It's probably just going to be silly if I don't sleep. But I'm always silly, so I guess it worked out.
There you go. Yeah.
I was diagnosed. I did the... what's the machine? The CPAP machine?
Oh, the CPAP, yep.
But eventually weaned myself off it and got sort of back to sleeping well. So, you know, that could happen for you, and I hope it does if it helps.
I don't think I knew that was an option, so that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear a success story, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't get worse. I mean, maybe I got in better shape or something. I don't know. But,
but you're always in good shape. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I appreciate that. That's why this is a radio show. If you saw me, good Lord.
You're still in good shape. Hey, you're in better shape than I am. That's for damn sure.
And I have to tell you a quick story.
Yeah.
First of all, get your ass to Graceland, all of you listening, if you've never been.
Oh, God.
When I lived in Chicago, for no reason, I just got up one weekend and said, I'm going to Graceland, and I went to Graceland. And I'm not even an Elvis guy compared to, like, Beatles or Stones. He's probably third in that, if you compared the three.
Mm-hmm.
But I came away with a huge appreciation, and just that place is amazing. But the weirder story I have for you, based on the beginning of the show, in Robin Williams, inside the actor's studio, he's always running to the front row doing bits, grabbing scarves, being an old woman, you know, all this crazy stuff. And this girl is laughing hysterically.
Oh, yeah, that heavy, real heavy set gal? Yeah. Oh,
my gosh. She's a college friend.
Is she really? Lisa.
Yeah, she's.
Oh, my gosh.
Lipton hated her for that. She has a laugh that is just nuts. It's like,
I mean, she's crying in the video.
Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, Williams will not relent, and he's calling her out, and he's doing, he just stays on her. And apparently afterwards, because she was a student there, Lipton was like, you know, don't do that again to my prestigious show. How dare you?
How dare you laugh at Robin Williams?
Oh, boy.
I went to a Q&A for the film 1 Hour Photo, which you may know is like a really dramatic Robin Williams movie.
Great
he comes
film.
Out for the Q&A and was drop dead hilarious. I'm like, okay, it doesn't matter what movie he's in. The guy's in person.
Yeah.
Just a rip. Anyway, the point is we have to bubble wrap Harrison Ford and Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do. You know, real quick, Paul, before we get into anything, have you seen the new trailer for Indiana Jones 5?
Hell yes.
What do you think?
Oh, my God, it's going to be amazing.
Really?
First of all, oh, my God, James Mangold, for one, doesn't make bad movies.
What are some of his hits so far? I'm not familiar.
310 to Yuma, Logan, Copland,
okay.
The Wolverine,
okay.
Ford versus Ferrari.
Okay.
He's taking over the
so good. Okay. All good,
so,
all good.
Yeah. So he's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, if Spielberg passed it off to anybody, he's probably better than another sort of student of Spielberg like Zemeckis or somebody like that.
Nice.
So it's going to hopefully have a nice grounded sentiment along with nostalgia. But Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones on a horse running down a train,
mm-hmm.
in the New York, plus new locations. I'll take New York City. Haven't seen it yet.
Right.
So I'm all about it. You know, it's clearly there's some de-aging going on. So I don't know if that's flashbacks or time travel. My buddy,
I've heard rumors of time travel.
Yeah, my buddy at...
That's what worries me.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, seriously.
Well, my buddy Adam in the movie, guys, said, look, there's a whole... There's a whole space between like Crusade and Crystal Skull where it's just Indiana Jones and World War II fighting Nazis. I'll go back and watch some of that. You know, it's just, it's a de-aging that I hope it just isn't distracting.
Correct. Yeah.
Like in The Irishman, it was distracting. Mm-hmm. And like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 or Tron Legacy, it wasn't. So it could go either way.
You felt The Irishman was distracting in The Irishman? Really?
Well, not only was it de-aged, but they looked soft. They changed De Niro's eye color. And so the whole thing looked weird.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it was distracting.
I didn't notice it that much for me. So I enjoyed The Irishman. So
it's a good film, but I kept having to go.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
while I'm watching it, which is not what you want to do. You want to be involved in the story and all that stuff.
Okay, and what's that? What's that sound again, Paul?
I was like, yeah. Okay. I made it a lot during Black Adam. We talked about
it. All righty, buddy. Well, real quick, what, because I know we're short on time now, but what movie should we go see now?
Well, the movie to see for me, perhaps the film of the year, is Cate Blanchett in Tar. This might be my favorite film of the year. Right now, it's a mix between that, Top Gun Maverick, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and The Banshees of Inisherin, kind of all colliding at the top to see what's going to take number one. But those are probably my top four, and I'll order them eventually. But Tar is mesmerizing. It's also because I saw it December 17th. I don't think, including today, there's a day where I haven't talked about it.
Yeah.
Just talking about this movie constantly. This character, Cate Blanchett plays this brilliant sort of rock star symphonic conductor who also teaches, and she's named Lydia Tarr. That's where the title comes from. Mm-hmm. And she's perhaps the most complicated character I have perhaps ever seen in a movie. She's no doubt brilliant. She is seems to have an abuse of power. She flirts with affairs, but she seems to love her wife. Is the relationship with her assistant poisonous? Is she a monster? Is she a victim? There are shades of cancel culture, shades of separating the art from the artist, and an overall feeling that is any of this our business?
There's love, there's adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. The best thing is that it's not soft on any of these topics. It takes its time. It's like a two and a half hour movie or something.
Wow.
Or was that maybe with trailers? But either way, it was, they just dig deep. And Blanchett.
I love her.
Good God.
Amazing.
She has two Oscars. She should probably have four or five. And
yeah, I agree.
It's the best performance of any sex person this year. Kind of like I remember years ago when Amy Adams was in Junebug. I just thought female, actor, actress. This is the best performance of the year. This performance by Cate Blanchett is perhaps the performance of her career. It's the performance of the year. It is. I don't see how anybody else pulls off this move.
Got it.
She's amazing. And Todd Field, the director, has called her danger seeking. And you can see that in every frame of this movie. She's just pulling out all the stops, taking the scenes to work, but never showy. She's never like, I'm putting on a show. She just is the character. And awesome. She's amazing.
Cool. All right. What's next, buddy?
Oh, wait. I should also say Todd Field. This is his first film in 16 years. The last one was Little Children, and before that, he made In the Bedroom. And I think those are the only films he's made. So he's not doing this much. Get out and see it, because watching him work for the first time in a while and watching Blanchett and anything she's in while you're walking the earth with her are probably required. So
right. I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah. Next up is Babylon, the fourth film from Damien Chazelle, who I love because he crafted the amazing life and love affirming La La Land, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. This is a departure from that, to say the least. But all his films do is win Oscars. You got Whiplash, which won, I think, script, as well as the J.K. Simmons, who you mentioned before, his best supporting actor turn in that. La La Land
won an Oscar. Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum.
Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum. Yeah. best supporting actor. But Chazelle won directing La La Land, and the film won five other Oscars, and the first man won for best visual effects. And so Babylon has a really good chance of winning for the production value and, again, the score. Like, it also won for La La Land. This guy, Justin Hurwitz, is incredible. But I'm not sure it's going to win anything else. I don't know if it's going to get nominated for Best Picture, because it is really divisive, and it shoots for the, you know, for the stars and pulls out all the stops to show in over 3 hours the paths of four people caught up in the insanity and – capital letters, debauchery of the silent film era. You got Brad Pitt.
Wow.
You got Brad Pitt playing a leading man actor coping with moving into sound films. You got Margot Robbie playing a young starlet who's like a nobody, then suddenly she's a big deal, and she struggles with juggling talent, fame, and like having to be classy when she's not. She's just I can't remember her name, Nora May or whatever from the Backwoods. You got a guy I've never heard of named Jovan Odepo, who is a rising black trumpet player, but he's dealing with the racism of the 20s. And Diego Calva, who was on the show Narcos, his character kind of runs through all the storylines in various positions. He's an assistant here. He works his way up to like a big name in the studios, and you watch them all. Chazelle seemed to be in love with movies, with La La Land. He seemed to love art, artists, dreamers, love. And with this, I think he's like, I don't know, I think he hates the silent film era. Because he's showing you an industry that chews you up and spits you out, uses you for what you need, sends you packing. I mean, I guess that still goes on. But,
well, I was going to say, it doesn't sound like it's today's Hollywood.
No, it's not much time.
Yeah.
You sure this was 100 years ago, Paul? but Chazelle's making the case that this was never more cynical than that era. Drugs, sex, orgies. The first 20 minutes of the movie is a huge orgy.
I mean, I like it.
Drugs.
That's my kind of movie.
Behavior. Yeah. All this stuff was on the plate. But about 90 minutes in, because, again, 3 hours, I was thinking, this is a satire. Anyone who hates this is, like, not getting that it's a satire, because it's so over the top in the depravity and the decadence. It's next level, that I thought this was some kind of statement that the film wanted to make about these people. But it kind of takes turns to be, like, then important. Like, Gene Smart plays a head of Hopper-type gossip columnist who gives a great speech to Pitt's character, and you're like, oh, that was really deep. Are we in a different movie? In the end, it kind of becomes like a thriller, almost. Kind of the way Boogie Nights was kind of like, hey, we're having fun and having sex, and by the end it's like, you know, the darkest part of Dirk Diggler's life. He's right. Drug deals and things are going poorly, and he knows he's got to get out. This kind of runs that same arc, although longer. And by the very end, Chazelle makes a statement that is kind of separate from the rest of the film. I wish the movie stayed in the real world to the end. It's not giving away too much of a spoiler, because it's kind of just a tacked on thing at the end. But throughout, there are moments of excitement, really tense moments, and there's just so much of it. You're going to like a lot of it. But I think it's a mixed bag, and I think even those who love it more than me would probably agree.
Nice.
But worth checking out, because Chazelle's just the hottest director.
And that's Babylon, right?
Yeah. That's Babylon.
Yeah. All right, cool. What's next, Paul?
Well, I know time's short. We're going to talk about two more, but I'll just throw one more at you, which is Empire of Light. I like movies about movies. You know, Hollywood gets a lot of crap. You know, they're probably giving it to Babylon as well for like, oh, they just love movies about movies in Hollywood and glorifying it. Da, da, da. Well, maybe actors and artists are really interesting people. Sorry, but I think that's the case, you know? But this kind of looks at movies from a different angle. It's from Sam Mendes. He's the director of Skyfall and Spectre, but let's not forget he also made American Beauty and won the Oscar for that.
Yes,
in 1917. So he's like a prestige project guy. He was a real get for Bond. You know, getting Mendes is going to do Bond. He made Road to Perdition, you know. But
I love that show.
It's a great movie.
Yes.
Right? So this is another prestige project. But what's so simple, it's perhaps going to be overlooked. I think people might remember Olivia Colman's performance in this, but check it out. Make up your own mind. Again, Colman's one of these actresses like Blanchett. Is she in a movie? I should go and see what she's doing, because it's going to be interesting. And she plays a woman working in a 1980s cinema in Great Britain. A lot of this sort of Sam Mendes directs a lot of other people's scripts, kind of like Spielberg, but he wrote this one the way Spielberg co-wrote The Fablemans, because both those are like personal stories they wanted to tell. So this is the Great Britain cinema, 1980s, and Olivia Colman plays a woman working there, forms a relationship with a new employee, but she's also struggling with these mental health issues. The new employee is also black, and there's a lot to contend with in terms of England's racist past. So it's a lot on the table. Yet I still kind of felt like I wanted more, but what's there is really good. And for the ride you're going on, Mendes brings you the best to go with. You got Roger Deakins, who shot Skyfall and won the Oscar for Blade Runner 2049, worked with the Coen brothers a ton. He's like the best DP there is, absolutely. And a surprisingly gorgeous score. Actually, not too surprising. I think now Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross from Nine Inch Nails are surprising in everything they do in film. But This is a lush, gorgeous score from them. So it's a super sincere film. You can feel, you know, Sam Mendes' heart's really in it, and you can get swept up in a lot of it. And if you love movies, Toby Jones is there playing the projectionist at this old cinema, who has a lot of the monologues and moments that remind you how great film is. And maybe, you know, to help heal herself, maybe Olivia Colman should watch one of those movies, you know, in the theater that she works at. So there's a lot going on. And it's handled, again, very, very simply. But so, you know, you don't go in expecting this is not Babylon. We got two different movies about movies. You want crazy, you know, over the top Babylon. You want simple and plainly felt and very sincere. Go with Empire of Light. But above them all, I can't recommend Tar more highly.
Right. Paul, before we let you go, buddy, I want to get your opinion. Because speaking of past history and everything, whatever, I saw that Mel Brooks is coming out with History of the World Part 2, finally. But this time, it's going to be more of a episodic type of a thing. Do you think it's going to work just as well as watching a full-length movie?
Well, I mean, I think it could, you know, because the History of the World Part 1 was so divided into segments that, yeah, you can kind of stretch them out, put them on Hulu. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm excited that Ike Barinholtz is part of it. You know, he's been a friend of the movie guys for a while, and a good friend of my buddy Adam, going way back to Chicago. And so all of his success, we're excited to see, not just Mad TV, but now moving into films, and for him to be a part of this as a writer, I think is good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mel, people are saying, oh, Mel hasn't had it, you know, in years, you know, because 1974, clearly, to put Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein out in the same year, I mean, just insane. It's a comedic point not often hit. But then, you know, you got into Dracula Dead and Loving It, Life Stinks, were these good movies, people are wondering. But then he kind of stopped doing movies, and you think about the things he did do, like The Producers on Broadway, mm-hmm. which is great.
Oh, my God, that was so good.
Yeah, his book, you know, so like the things he's done lately are great. So I think if he's come out of the woodwork to say, this is a project worth putting my time into, I think however it's delivered, I think we're in for a good time. And I hear there's a video right now online where he announces it and shows the first trailer. So I've got to go watch that when I'm done with it. Like, it just like came out this morning. I didn't get a chance to see it before we came on here. So I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, because that's one thing is, I mean, I know, you know, Mel's about becoming 2,000-year-old himself, you know. Mm. And I mean, and just wondering, does he still have it? Will it still work out? And I think so, because with Mel, if it's funny, it's funny. It's going to make you laugh.
Get more bubble wrap for him.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, a lot of bubble wrap for Mel. Yes. You know, because I still heard, too, that he was supposed to be doing a sequel to Spaceballs. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I still want that to happen, you know, before he passes, you know.
Well, there's been so much Star Wars since 87. Mm-hmm. You know, there's plenty to spoof.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Brother, it is always good to talk to you about the movies, and I know you love talking about them, and we love you for that as well. So thank you so much. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's a great time of year because the SAG Award nominations just came out and the Golden Globes just came out. So it's award season, like the best. Yeah, I hate that they dump them all on you at the end of the year. And then you have like a month to see 40 movies to know what the hell these are by the time they get all these nominations. But your chances of seeing something good just went up, you know, in January because of the wider release of all these art films. So get out there and see something. And then I'm sure next time I'm on, the Academy Award nominations will have come out, and we'll talk about that.
Oh, can't wait, buddy. Can't wait.
And of course, it goes without saying, leave Will Smith's wife's name off your goddamn.
Good stuff.
Love you, brother. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, buddy.
Farewell.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Eddie Murphy had that line.
Yeah. That was so good.
Yeah.
That was so good. Loved it.
Jaw dropped.
Yeah.
The blueprint for having a good career.
He's been so serious over the years lately. It's fun to see Eddie Murphy, you know, crack some jokes again.
Well, you know, after some of the movies he's done, he needs to be funny again.
He needs to.
You know?
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite, most recent films with him is Bowfinger.
I love Bowfinger.
Yeah. So good.
I just read Steve Martin's last book that he came out with, and he does anecdotes about all his movies. And uh-huh. And just in parentheses, real quick, he goes, you know, Bowfinger, he should have got an Oscar nomination for Bowfinger.
He did
and
so
he
good.
He should have. He's so good in those roles, multiple roles, just really funny.
Now, Pluto Nash, I can understand, you know, putting on the whole film on the...
I have yet to see Pluto Nash.
Oh, God, it's so bad. You know, but there was an interview with him, too, after the Golden Globes, whatever, with E! And they were talking about, I guess, because they're doing a new... Because how did the conversation come up? They were talking about Jamie Lee Curtis. And, of course, Eddie Murphy and Jamie Lee Curtis did Trading Places. And it's been 40 years since that film came out.
Oh, my goodness.
And so... they were talking about, I guess, Jamie Lee is now doing a new Haunted Mansion film.
Really?
Yeah. And, of course, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, did the one.
Did Haunted Mansion. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah.
But he even says, oh, it was horrible.
Yeah.
He says it was horrible.
Yeah, I wanted that one to be as good as, like, the Pirates of the Caribbean movies were, you know, for the,
yeah,
as far as movies based on rides.
Well, here's the thing, though, is that I believe, and I could be wrong, of course, we might have to call Paul back and ask, because Paul knows everything, is who produced it, though? Because, I mean, Jerry Bruckheimer.
Right.
Did the Pirates of the Caribbean. If you're going to do a swashbuckling, big adventure kind of a thing, Jerry Bruckheimer is the producer to go to on this whole thing, you know, and he's done all the films.
Yeah.
So, and even as the well, what's the word? The franchise has gone on.
Yeah.
It started to jump the shark
a little bit.
But the storylines are still good.
The world is still like interesting. And
No matter what. But it's like, okay, what can we do now? Oh, let's do the Fountain of Youth, you know.
The Haunted Mansion is just overflowing with good stuff, world building and just the setting. I would love to see a good Haunted Mansion movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, but I think Disney put too much into the ride as opposed to trying to focus on the story versus how many things from the ride can we put in? You know,
yeah,
because like, I mean, how many, when you watch Pirates of the Caribbean, how many things in there are from the ride?
There's like little Easter eggs or hints, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And the one that sticks out is when they're calling the dog
and the key.
That's it.
Yep.
Everything else, it's the story
or the song.
At the end.
You know, there's some little things here and there.
A pirate's life for me.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, but everything else, you know, it's based upon that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where the failure was for Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
But it's still not that bad because to me, it's a kid's film.
Yeah.
It's a kid's film is what it is. So,
but I want to enjoy it too.
Well, be a kid.
Okay.
All right. A kid. Look it through the eyes of a kid.
I'll watch it at Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, there you go. I'll be Chuck E. Cheese. That's a good place to go.
Where I can be a kid.
Ah, damn right. Damn right you can. All right. Well, we've got a new segment now that we're going to be doing here. And hopefully you guys like it as much as we do. And this is going to be What's Trending with Cameron Jackson.
All right. I wanted to listen to the music. I was like, I wonder what he's going to play.
Got to catch a trolley here.
All right, so we're going to start here with some unfortunate news, I guess, of the week. We're just going to touch on a few people who have passed just to kind of, you know, pay our respects and everything like that. And I know, you know, everyone in the world has lost people this week, so we're only going to touch on a few, but, you know, we're here for you, and we're sorry for your loss and all of that. So, obviously, Lisa Marie Presley, we lost her this week. Daughter of Elvis and Priscilla Presley, dies at 54 after suffering cardiac arrest.
Still can't believe that, man.
I know. That's a really tough one. She was just 54, so young.
Yeah.
She lived 12 years past her father's death.
Yeah.
Death age.
Oh.
Yeah. Amazing.
We also lost the legendary rock guitarist, Jeff Beck.
No!
I know. I know.
Yardbirds. And then you said Young Gun.
His solo stuff and everything. Yeah.
Yes. And then we're going to talk about one more. I'm so sorry. Robbie Knievel, the son of Evel Knievel, passed away just yesterday after suffering with pancreatic cancer.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was 60, almost 60.
About
60. And so just still really young. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. It's so sad.
Yeah, it's been a real shame, too. We were kind of talking prior, too. There was a supermodel that passed away.
Yeah.
A TikTok guy or whatever that passed away.
Oh, yeah.
A soap opera actor that passed away. And then some other actress on one of these, like NCIS or whatever show, she passed. They're dropping like flies.
18-year-old
Yeah, the 18-year-old MMA fighter passed away. It's like, what the hell is going on?
I don't know.
You know,
well, I lost this week.
It's a little. It's a little scary. Yeah. All right. What else is trending for us?
All right. So I'm going. Yeah, I'll turn it up a little bit. Disney dropped some news this week. Keep your eyes on their websites and their posts and everything, because ticket prices are dropping.
Yay!
Not every day of the year. They've got like different prices kind of throughout the year.
Oh, depending on the day.
Days and all that kind of stuff. So keep your eyes peeled, you know, for different prices. But some prices will drop this year, which is really nice because they just keep going up.
You crazy Dutch bastard.
They keep going up. So it's kind of nice to hear the word drop with them.
Right.
Magic Key Passes will be available off and on throughout the year of 2023. So you also have to keep your eyes peeled for that.
Okay.
Let's see. And then starting February 4th, if you have a Magic Key Pass or a Park Hopper Pass, you are able to park hop at 11 a.m. instead of 1 p.m. So you can get into the second park 2 hours sooner.
Cool.
But make sure you've already checked into your reserved park and then you can park hop at 11 a.m. I know.
So complicated.
I know.
All these damn rules.
There's so many rules, and then there's like rules to the rules, and there's like rules that just ask
for right? answers.
Yeah. And then it is, just like Paul said, it is the start of award season for everyone.
Mm-hmm. So we just had the Golden Globes.
Exciting. We just had the Golden Globes. Star of the show of the Golden Globes, Jennifer Coolidge, I must say. Personal opinion, plus just she's everywhere this week.
Yeah,
she is amazing.
Funny rant.
And then Tracy Morgan hosted, I think.
He was in the audience. It was Jared Carmichael.
Carmichael hosted. Okay.
Yes. Let's see. Oh, and then the Critics' Choice Awards are tomorrow, Sunday, hosted by Chelsea Handler.
Oh, interesting.
So we'll see how that goes. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Do you know what that's streaming on or broadcasting on?
I do not. Okay. That's a good question.
Our listeners will go find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please find out and tell us.
Google it and let me know.
Yeah. We need to know. Absolutely.
You never know what things are streaming on. It's never, now who knows?
I feel like I have to Google it and I'm like, Golden Globe. Like, what is the Golden Globe streaming on?
So I
can find it because I don't have regular television.
Yeah.
So I'll find it somewhere.
You have irregular?
I have irregular television.
Irregular television. There you go. And there you go, guys. That is what's trending with Cameron Jackson. I love that little throw part. All right. Well, you know, do you guys think that you're rude people?
At times, yeah.
At times you're rude?
I think unknowingly I am at times. Like, okay. If I'm in my head and I'm not like...
As opposed to out of your head?
Correct.
Okay.
Like if I'm inside my own head.
Just checking,
yeah,
partner.
I might like be ignoring somebody, but not intentionally. And I think that could be rude, yeah.
Okay.
Or at least considered rude, you know?
Right,
you
right,
know,
right.
I'm thinking or something.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think I am at sometimes, but I try to be, you know, I have the old saying, treat me the way you want me to treat you, you know? And if you start to, you know, let's say... change lanes a little bit, then I'm going to change lanes right with you and give it right back at you, you know? So I try to treat everybody as, you know, as nice as possible until you cross that line kind of a thing or whatever, you know? I think, yeah, there are probably times also that I'm rude accidentally, don't mean to, you know? I know sometimes I can come off being very condescending at times, which I don't mean. But for me, it's like, it's an obvious thing, and where maybe for that person it's not obvious. Like I go, you don't know this, really? You don't know to like when you take a shower to wash your body with soap.
Has that happened?
Really? You know, but I mean, it's that type of a thing.
Right.
How can you not know?
Right.
To do this,
right.
You know, that's where I can kind of come off being condescending because I have this information in my head, and I guess I'm just shocked that you don't because it's so common sense. So I think I can come off condescending in that aspect. So, but you know, I don't mean to, but I can't be that way.
Okay.
Yeah. How about you, Cameron?
Yeah, I was thinking about it, and it's kind of like what both of you said, because I am known for being a little bit of like a space cadet, and so if I'm like in my head about something...
Which can be so fun, though.
Right. Yeah, I have a really good time up here. I wish people would join me.
Let us in! Let us in!
But if I'm, you know, in my head about something, then yeah, I could like maybe accidentally... seem rude because I'm like, oh, wait, what did you say? And then like, oh, you weren't listening. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. But then just so like in a general way, I think that I'm a pretty nice person. Mm-hmm. I can be quite sarcastic sometimes. Mm-hmm. Get that from my
Well, sarcasm's different.
Yeah.
Sarcasm's different.
But I think it could probably come off as condescending.
Some people interpret sarcasm as being rude.
I think
as opposed to like making a joke or something. Right.
Because I think it's funny, so I want to say it. But then I'm like, oh, maybe that, but did you not think it was this funny? Literally?
But you know, it's also too, if people know you,
yeah,
and how you are, they know that you are joking no matter
Absolutely.
What. Here's a really good example. So my mentors, Mark and Brian, right? Mm-hmm. Mark would always ask the women, the female callers, when they would call in, whether it was on Mark and Brian or whether it was Mark in the Morning, he would always ask, so what's your rack size like? How big are your boobs? You know, what's your rack size? And so he kind of pulled back on that a little bit over the years. And what's funny, though, is that it was kind of like a Don Rickles thing. The women callers, if Mark didn't ask, they would get upset that he didn't ask.
Oh, I see. Fans of the show.
Fans of the show knew.
Yeah. They were like, why aren't you asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, don't you want to know my rack size?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of rack you got swinging?
Yeah.
You know? And she goes, well, it's a 36 double D. Oh, that's a good one. You know?
Yeah.
And everything. You know? And it's awkward in that aspect, but they know that you're asking for a particular reason or whatever to try and draw the comedy. And if you don't do it, mm-hmm. You know, now they get upset with you because you don't do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I guess it depends on the sense of humor and, right? And who's vibing with that and who's not.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but I think you've got a list, though, of things.
I do.
Yeah. Let's talk about those.
Okay. Let's start with using speakerphone.
Like in public?
Sure.
Yeah.
That is rude because that is a private conversation.
Yeah.
I do not need to hear your... Hold it up to your ear like it's supposed to be used.
Yeah.
I already have enough like personal distractions going on. I don't also need to.
Well, you got a lot of things going on in your head.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's right. I'm already busy, you guys.
Yeah.
I think I know where that came from, though. Because when we start seeing a lot of the reality shows or whatever, so that they could hear the conversation, they would put it on speakerphone. Now everybody does it.
Yeah. That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's where it came from. And everybody just started picking up that trend. But I don't want to, if you're in the store and you're walking around, I don't need to hear the other person.
Yeah. Agreed.
I immediately thought of like a time that happened because I was at the Dollar Tree because I'm fancy. And
yeah, you are.
And there was one long line and the person behind me was on speakerphone talking about how they were going to go buy Spanx. And, you know, I don't need this information in my head. Like, I don't need to remember this. I shouldn't have never known that. And then a second cashier opened up, you know, when they open up and they're like, next person.
Yeah.
And she was at the back and she cut to the, you know.
Oh,
she cut
that's
to be first.
Rude.
She's double
so she
rude.
Doubled down on the rudeness. I was like, enjoy your Spanx. And
but God,
yeah, Dollar Tree.
No. You don't do that.
Yeah.
You just don't.
What we got here is
failure
to communicate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sorry for interrupting if that was rude, but that was.
That's good, though.
Go on with the list.
Yeah.
What's the next one?
Okay, the next one is talking on your phone when you're ordering.
In front of the cashier.
So, like, in front of the cashier. So, you're like, who are you telling to hold on?
Whether you're holding your phone out on speaker or if you're just holding it, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell whoever I'm talking to, hold on for a moment, and sure. I'm a mute.
Oh, okay.
The phone. Because, you know, there is that feature on all the phones.
Very polite.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah. Okay. Taking phone calls in public restrooms.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't like to hear the echo sounds.
Yep.
I've got this anxiety in the bathroom where, like, if I can hear you can hear me.
Yeah.
And so if I can hear someone on the phone, like, not only can you hear me going to the bathroom right now, but, like, that person can't. That's too many people.
It's very echoey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll admit, I've done that a couple of times with people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll try to leave my bathroom door open so it's not as echoey. I put the phone out a little bit so it's, like.
Right.
So it's, like, not as echoey so they don't recognize it,
yeah.
You know. And
yeah.
I'll finish up my business, do the paperwork. I won't flush until later on. Or sometimes I'll go, oh, my God, a spider. you know, and then
what if you're in the automatic flush and then it calls you out, the toilet calls you out.
I won't do it at a public restroom.
Right,
because but my own here at home, whatever.
Yeah, that you can
sometimes
control.
I'll do it. I'm like, oh look, spider, and then they go, oh I think I got it, and then flush. You know,
so random noises.
It covers up. You know, we gotta be creative, people.
That's right. Next is not saying please and thank you to people in service positions.
Oh, always do that.
100%. Anytime we leave anywhere, even if the people can't hear, my wife says thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are so sweet. They don't even hear you.
And eye contact.
Yeah.
To like a server, not absolutely. Just like more refill, you know,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
Finger
yeah.
up in the air. I was in the service industry for 15 years. Mm.
Oh, you poor thing.
You know.
So I know.
Yeah.
I remember one time going down to Mexico, and I'm talking TJ Mexico,
okay.
Going to the bullfights. Mm-hmm. And we had a dinner at one of these restaurants that's really well known. And I forgot who we were with or whatever, but I remember the person that we were with was calling the waiter or waitress going, I, and I'm, wow, really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Yay. All right. Not a good thing to do.
Yeah. I don't even think that would be like,
oh,
a good
not
tip,
here.
Nope.
You know,
nope.
Not here.
I was like, no,
my grandfather taught me a trick where look at the people, whether they're Carl's Jr. or at Target or whatever, they have a name badge for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I always look at their name badges and call them by your name.
Sure.
Always, no matter what, because that just shows common courtesy,
mm-hmm.
you know, for overall. So, yeah, please, thank you. And I'll, you know, say, you know, thank you, Cameron, or thank you, you know, whatever for bringing. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I probably would have been like, oh, you're welcome. Like, I would have been like, oh, my gosh, you read my name tag.
Yeah.
Like, you took a moment. That's
I've had a couple of people, a couple of waitresses go, how did you know? Oh.
Yeah. I guess I would have probably.
I'm a mentalist. And you have one brother? Okay, good, yeah.
Okay. A brother. Yes, I do.
Pick a card. Any card.
That's so funny. Okay. Next is passing just the salt.
Oh, my mom is notorious for this.
Okay.
Will yell at me for this.
Oh, really?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Pass both.
Really?
There
I
are
never
a couple.
Heard that one before.
My parents definitely taught me to pass both.
Yeah.
But now, like, I don't know. I feel like it's like
what are they asking
like
for?
Like a very
though?
Etiquette.
Oh,
it's like an
yeah.
etiquette thing to do
okay.
to pass both when
to pass both
just
the salt and
the salt.
Pepper, even though you're asking for the
if
salt.
If I say I want the salt, you're supposed to give me both.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Or
etiquette
you ask
wise,
for the pepper, I'd give you salt.
I guess to keep them together, maybe.
Yeah. That's
yeah. Yeah,
they say they're like a couple.
Okay.
You pass them both.
Ah.
Not just the one.
I learned that today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now I usually like ask people, I'm like, did you want both or just the salt?
Gotcha.
Pass the salt.
Gotcha.
Don't tell my mom.
Okay.
Yeah. You're lit. Sorry,
well,
mom.
Yeah. Hey, four just learned something. So that means the more you know.
Doom. Rainbow
go.
Just shot across our
you guys
studio.
Should have seen it. let's see. Requesting a tour of someone's home.
Yeah.
Is that rude?
I think so.
Do you know that?
If you've never been there, if you, you know, hey, show me around.
Unless it's like a housewarming party. Well, I guess when I first came here, I wasn't like, well, let me see the bedroom.
Yeah. Where do you guys screw? Let me check it out.
Exactly.
What's the slang for?
I put it in perspective, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're at someone's house at a party and then you say, show
me
around.
Show me a tour.
Yeah.
As opposed to if the host goes, would you like a tour
would
of
you
the house?
Yeah. I
that's
see.
Different. Yeah.
I like, take advantage.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Or like if you go to the restroom, just look around yourself. I'm just kidding.
Medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
You look in the medicine cabinet.
I had a buddy of mine who would put ping pong balls in the medicine cabinet. So when people would open it, it would all fall out.
That's great.
That is hilarious.
I'm like, that's awesome.
That's great.
Love that.
Yeah. And what he did was at the very top.
Yeah.
Because you go, well, how did he get them all in without falling out? Well, at the very top, he put a hole. So he would just drop all the ping pong balls in. And then when the person, how do you correct that? You can't.
I was looking for a Q-tip or something. I was looking for something.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. The next one is offering up an opinion without being asked.
A lot of people do that.
Oh, a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know what I think
Even
about
I do that?
That?
I think time.
Just kidding.
No. Come on, Horace. Yeah. I think it's like sometimes people are talking to you and telling you a story just so they have someone that'll listen to them.
Yeah.
And
not
necessarily looking for like unsolicited advice.
Yeah.
You know, or opinions.
Yeah. If I wanted your opinion, I asked for it.
Seems like a lot of people do that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think
Especially online.
You're very true.
Well, yeah. There you go. Let's see. I'm making people feel bad about not knowing something. That's our Sean. Mm. He does that.
Welcome.
He didn't know to use the soap in the shower.
Just wander around the tub.
Let's see. Not making introductions.
Ooh, yeah.
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 I think
I've been put in positions where I don't know the other person or I don't remember, and I'm supposed to introduce them.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, mm-hmm. I can't introduce them because I don't know who they are.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, where somebody else knows them. If I knew who they were, I'd tell you.
Yep. And it's like that thing that people, like, they do on sitcoms and stuff. You go with a friend, you're like, hey, I don't remember their name, so you introduce yourself.
Right.
Or I'll say your name, and right. then you say something like, and what was your name?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, save me.
Save me.
Save me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yep.
But if you know the person, whatever, obviously, yeah, introductions are always good.
Yep. Telling people to smile.
Oh,
really? Yeah.
I hear this is a thing with men do to women a lot, right?
Uh-oh. Okay, to me, it is not only rude, it's creepy.
It's creepy, right?
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, I don't want...
You drop something, your smile. Like when men do that, right? Gag.
Yeah. Wow, that's a... That deserves to go in one of our pickup line segments.
No. We don't want to say those things, right? Yeah. You smile, honey. You'll be so much prettier if you smile.
Oh, my God, yes. That is like the worst thing you can say.
Service industry.
They do that?
Before tip. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have a bitch face or what they call a bitch face?
Yeah, probably.
resting bitch face?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. And I know, and I hate it.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate it. Like, I got to redo... a video shoot of me playing guitar or whatever for an advertisement thing, you know, to try and get gigs. I had the biggest bitch face. I look so angry.
You gotta.
Yeah, I have to. I'm like, I gotta reshoot this whole damn thing.
Liven it up here. Yeah.
I gotta reshoot it.
I really have to be concentrated on something or like thinking about something that's making me feel that way to have that, because I think overall I just kind of have like a soft face.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that's called.
Smiley? Like
a smiley.
Like an upbeat.
Face.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But I just don't, my relaxed face is a bitch face, and I hate it.
Aww.
I was like a serial killer.
Okay, last one. Crossing your arms.
Aw.
I know.
I like doing that.
Sometimes my hands get cold.
Yeah, I'm cold.
Well, other than that, you know, and put them under your armpits, you know. Right. But I mean, but if you're doing the regular crossing.
The act of.
Yeah, because a lot of people say, oh, you're being standoffish. The body language.
You look kind of smug or
closed
yeah.
off.
Yeah, closed off.
Closed
yeah,
off.
Body language.
I can
language,
understand
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So I put my hands in my pocket.
Okay.
But if you're rubbing your arms, then you're letting people know that you're. Yeah.
Or rubbing their arms.
Or. Yeah.
Yeah. You look cold.
You should ask first, though.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And that's
it. Pass the salt while you're at it.
Oh. Wow.
Cool. Not too bad. I like those. I like those.
I like to do those.
Where are we at on time? We're at 11, 11. I think we got a little bit of time here. More for a couple other things here. Kids.
Kids.
Ugh. Kids are
worst.
Ooh. Ooh. Have your kids ever embarrassed you?
Oh, all the time. I played.
He's got two.
Oh my
boys.
Gosh! I was with my friends from high school, and the joke was that my friends played like football or basketball, like the cool sports, and I played tennis. 3 years tennis.
Nice. We got to play tennis together.
Yeah. Though. Yeah. Let's do it.
Oh, I love tennis.
And we were talking out loud, and then I was like, ah, well, I played. I was like fake bragging, like I played 3 years varsity tennis, and my son goes, wait, tennis. Boys can play tennis? I thought tennis was just for girls. Oh. But he was like roasting me in front of my friends.
Snap.
And it became like this long running joke with my friends who were like, wait, boys can play tennis too? And I was
like, yeah, I'm gonna go John McEnroe on you now.
Yeah, exactly, right? You cannot be serious. And
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they got me good though, because I get them too, so
uh-huh.
But yeah, they like to try and embarrass me too.
My son and I, we have a great relationship. I love our relationship. And we will brag on each other or you know, come on. You know, it's just one of those things. He tags me, I tag him. Mm-hmm. It just depends. But it's got to be the right time. And I wouldn't say that he really has really truly ever embarrassed, because most of the time it's just the two of us by ourselves. But I think the greatest thing that he's ever done throughout the years or whatever, one of the funniest things he's done with me, is where he's looked at my beard, and then he's looked at my stomach, and granted, I'm a little overweight, you know. Looks at my beard again, and notices, oh, there's gray hair.
Mm.
Looks at my stomach, looks back at the beard. Oh, you're Santa Claus!
Wow.
All right.
All right. I remember that one.
All right, cool.
Okay.
File that one away, right?
Yeah. I know where you sleep.
Yes, I am Santa. I know when you're sleeping.
I know when you sleep.
And yeah. I control your gifts at Christmas.
Damn right we do. And you're getting nothing right now. But overall, I mean, not like majorly embarrassed or anything like that, or revealed secrets or whatever. So, but this is really funny. Kids have accidentally revealed their parents' secrets with hilarious drawings. You gotta imagine kids drawing these things. So here's the first one. A kid was answering the question, who ate the most at a picnic? And the child was, the choices were basically either mosquitoes or the dog. In this question thing that they were supposed to get. And the child actually answered, my dad, because he's chubby and has a big problem.
Wow.
Big problem.
God. Kids are judgmental.
They tell the truth.
Right?
They're honest.
Yeah. You know?
Wow.
You know, well, what was it? That the old Art Linkletter and Cosby, you know, kids say the darndest things.
Right?
Yeah.
Darnest,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I got one, too. Instead of a child writing world's greatest father, they wrote world's greatest farter.
And they actually have mugs that say that, too. So, yeah. I've woken myself up that way a couple of times from sleep. Yeah, yeah, in the morning.
There's no tests for that.
No, 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 no.
No cure.
It sounds like a big rig going by outside. Let's see. One child wrote a lovely card to their mother saying, thank you, Mom, for being wonderful, caring, and not making your meatloaf anymore.
Aww. Oh, okay.
Not a fan.
Yeah. At least he thanks his mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for not doing that.
It was a very polite way.
Yeah, because it packs me up, you know? So, yeah.
One boy shared a picture he drew of his father and stated, my dad is an employee. He likes drinking. Why do I need that explained to me? Why? My dad is an employee. Wait. He likes drinking.
Enough said,
wow,
man.
Wow, just outed him.
The job.
Yeah.
Outed him.
The job right there.
Yeah.
All right, well, this is pretty hilarious. You know, sure, even a mom, stay-at-home moms, you know, they do a little bit more and everything, but this child's called his mom out by stating, this is my mom. This is what she does all day, watching Ellen.
Wow.
Okay. Ellen's amazing. I get it.
One little girl did a fill in the blank for Father's Day, and this is how it read. My dad is 8 years old. My dad liked to Grandma Dukes for fun.
What the hell does that mean?
He's good at fixing things. His favorite food is beer. He is funny when he farts. I love him because he feeds my fish all the time. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cute.
It paints a picture of this dad.
I was going to say that.
I really love those fill-in-the-blank ones because they are funny. You know,
yeah.
How old is your dad? He's 8. Well, how old are you? 5. Let's do the math
right
here.
No idea.
Oh, that's so cute.
You know, add a 3 in front of that 8, kiddo.
Yeah.
Add a 2 in front of that 8.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens there. Let's see. Well, this one here, a kid drew a wrestling ring, you know, like a boxing ring, wrestling ring,
okay.
And put the WWE signs on it, or whatever, all the way around. And then the kid made sure that on the label that the two stick figures was mom and dad fighting in the ring.
Oh no! Called out.
Those drawings get sent to the school psychologist. I think.
Yeah,
like,
yeah they do. Yeah, they do.
Get ready to rumble.
We're concerned.
Exactly.
And lastly, this child had an assignment to write about the most interesting person in their life. It's not unusual for kids to pick one of their parents, and it might even be hard for them to choose just one. But that is not the case with this kid. He savagely picked his dad over his mom because, quote, she's more like a regular mom. Super dad, regular mom.
Regular mom.
Aww.
Oh,
sexist.
My gosh. Oh, that's good. That is good. And kids, you know, it's the perspective mm-hmm. on certain things, you mm-hmm. know. And I mean, it's like Karen and I, we were going back on certain things with Roman and things that he's done as a little boy and stuff, you know. And it's just, some of it is just so precious. And I'm going, God, where did the time go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everything. And there's one where we're in my truck at the time, and he's still in the car seat. And, you know, and they say, you got to watch what you say around your kids. And it's so true. And he's about maybe four at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were listening at that time to a Bon Jovi album. And And I didn't realize that he was listening to the album that much. And this is like the fourth or fifth cut into the record. And so the line in the song is, shake your money maker and smoke them if you got them. And he sang it perfectly. And I almost crashed into the center divider on the freeway when it went, whoa. And then, of course, I said, do it again. Sing it again. You know, and I filmed him watching it and everything. But, I mean, it's just, you know, those moments.
Yeah.
You know, and where I had, I was talking about his godfather earlier, Gino. His daughter's the same age as my son. And she was probably about, you know, four or whatever. And we had gone to McDonald's. And Gwen had accidentally, she was opening up her hamburger or whatever. I don't know exactly what she was doing. But then next thing we know, we heard the smack on the floor. Well, she dropped the hamburger patty on the floor. Mm-hmm. And she's in, you know, the high chair. Mm-hmm. And she just looks down and goes, ah, shit.
Oh. That's awesome.
Gina and I just looked at each other, and there were two old ladies. We're just babysitting.
We don't know this kid.
Yeah,
we don't. We didn't teach him. That's for sure. Go,
that's my son, but I don't. Yeah, we don't know who the daughter is. Yeah, we don't. Oh, and boy, those ladies just gave us the glare. Ooh,
judgy.
Oh yeah, very judgy. But at least she used it in the right context, though.
True.
That's a very cool thing, though, about it. You know,
they pick up on it.
They do. They do have to be careful with what your kids say and see and everything and all those wonderful things. So we got a new sponsor, though.
We
have a new sponsor, and I you know, it's kind of cool because I've seen the commercials for this, but for women mainly, which is this all body deodorant kind of thing.
Oh.
You know, you're supposed to not just use it under your armpits, but in the private places, and I guess under the boobs or whatever for women and stuff and what have you. And I guess now they finally came out with one, I guess, for men. You know,
really?
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised by the whole thing too. So, you know, but I think we got a clip of the commercial here. So let's go ahead and run this this new sponsor. Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Not so good, I'm afraid.
Well, what's the matter? Your job got you down?
No, job's doing great.
Oh, marriage problem?
No, not at all.
Well, what's wrong then?
Well, I'm afraid I have disgusting body odor, especially in the backdoor region, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I do. That means you've got swamp ass, partner. Did you know that one out of four friends suffer from swamp ass?
No, it's not till now.
You know, but don't worry because, you know, I have just the thing for you. Introducing No More Stinkies, a full body deodorant for men and all your stinky skin, perspiring palms, limbs, and Limburger odorous organs and rectums that reek, otherwise known as swamp ass.
Wow!
Yeah, No More Stinkies has been tested on the toughest, terrible smelling people.
Like who?
Oh, athletes for both college and pro, for one thing.
Mm.
Yeah, you gotta press the button again. DMV employees, substitute teachers, subway operators, subway sandwich artists, rock musicians, seafood market butchers, Venice Beach street buskers, coal miners and coal miners' daughters, and more.
What about teenagers?
It's not that strong. But No More Stinkies also has been endorsed by the stenchiest parts of Hollywood celebrities, like Johnny Depp's goatee, Robert Pattinson's hair, Emma Stone's sucked lemon face, Ezra Miller's flash costume, Ezra Miller himself, Leonardo DiCaprio's girlfriends, Kevin Costner's horse on Yellowstone, Brad Pitt's pits, and David Lee Roth's career, and more.
Sounds great. But wait, does it have any major side effects?
No More Stinkies may have only mild to moderate side effects. Here's a list that we can read out loud. Some side effects include uncontrollable moving,
walking,
dizziness and drowsiness,
backaches, hallucinating,
extreme sweats and drooling,
shouting random Family Guy quotes,
binge watching Cobra Kai,
watching every Steve Carell movie, barking like a dog.
Tomfoolery.
Dick foolery.
That's right. And Tom, Dick, and Harry foolery.
Singing the theme song to Friends.
Thinking cream corn is something dirty.
Thinking Anne Hathaway is in love with you. She is.
Bootlegging, loan sharking, and more.
Well, that doesn't sound too bad.
Of course not. Of course not. No more stinkies will make you feel like the Old Spice guy, the Brute guy, and Mr. Clean all rolled into one.
Thanks. I'm going to try no more stinkies today.
Oh, God, that's so good. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's one under your chair for every member of our audience. Everyone goes home.
You get one.
You get one.
All right. Should we play the game, guys?
Let's play.
All right. Let's go ahead and do that. Where in the heck is it? No. There it is. Ta-da! I've got nothing because Casey normally does this at Sun and Steve, so.
Oh!
We're going to play the game Quiz Me!
Quiz You!
All right. And we've got, of course, intern Christopher out there who tells us all the questions that we need to know, we need to answer, and everything. So let's get this game started.
Yeah, sometimes you don't even need to know them.
I know, it's very true.
Yeah, okay, let's go.
All right. Question number one.
Yep, question number one. And that's my line. So shut it. Who was the first rude. American president to travel? Stop talking over me.
Is that rude?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
It is.
We can find a new intern, though, you know.
Okay, no. All right. Proceed.
All right. Who was the first American president to travel overseas by airplane?
Sean. Nixon?
No.
Oh, man. Oh, no. It's got to be earlier than that.
Yeah. Forrest.
Forrest.
Eisenhower.
No.
Camlin.
I don't
know. Truman?
No.
Sean. JFK?
No.
Oh, that'd be JFK.
Forrest. Coolidge?
No. Oh,
dang it.
Sean. Taft?
No.
I know 30s. I can't think of any other president.
I mean, this president in particular does sometimes get called by his letters.
Camlin? FDR?
There you go.
All right.
Yeah, it was a visit over to England, if I remember correctly, with like a meeting with Churchill and stuff.
All right,
question number two. How long did Elvis serve in the army before being discharged?
Forrest. Sean. Four?
No.
Two?
John? No.
Camlin. Six.
Yes.
Wow.
Because he left active service after 2 years, but he wasn't discharged until 64.
Wow.
Because he was in reserve until 64 when he was discharged.
Got it. Okay.
So that's why I specifically said until he was discharged.
Either way.
Because there's a difference.
Cameron's going car here.
Yeah. Two for two. Running the table.
Question number three. Let's see how well she does on this next one. Which country was the clarinet made in?
Excuse me.
Forrest.
Ah, that's so funny.
Italy.
No.
Ah.
Camlin.
Camlin.
France.
No.
Clarinet. Sean.
Germany.
Yes.
Germans.
The Germans.
Question. You will play the
question. Ball. What channel did the late night show with David Letterman start on?
Forrest. Sean.
Forrest.
Wow, Forrest. Jeez.
NBC.
That is correct. Nice. Forrest is finally on the board.
You didn't have to say finally.
Right, question number five. All right. What was David Bowie's first single? Like the first single that he released.
Oh my God. I don't know.
I don't know.
I know his real name.
Forrest. Rebel.
No.
No, it was like late 60s.
Yeah, it would have been.
It was late 60s.
This is all you, Sean.
Oh, my God. Like I said, I know his real name, but I can't. Go ahead, tell us.
Can't Help Thinking About Me.
Yeah, it would have been one of like his lesser hits, I guess.
Question number six.
Bummer. Unlucky.
All right. What?
An English hit, too. Don't forget.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What year was the first NFL Pro Bowl?
Oh.
Forrest.
75.
No.
Sean.
Pro Bowl?
72?
No. It's a bit, it's decent like amount earlier. Decent amount earlier than you. Than
Camlin.
Camlin.
62.
No. Even earlier.
Even earlier?
Oh, yeah. Really? Before they merge? Okay. Forrest.
Forrest.
55.
No, but we're getting closer now.
Sean.
Sean.
52.
No, we're really close now.
Ooh. Ooh, wow.
Camlin. Camlin.
51.
Yay!
Hey!
Nice job.
Really good at guessing.
Big fan.
Today.
Big NFL fan. Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, question number 7. Prior to 1940, the term Jeep had been used as U.S. Army slang for what?
Oh, God. I did know this at one point.
But do you know it now?
No. No. Yeah, Jeep was a slang.
Oh, God. We just had an argument about this playing Scrabble, if Jeep, you could play Jeep or not in Scrabble.
Yeah, and you can.
I said you can't because it's a brand name, but... I was wrong.
But it's still a word. It's a,
well, I mean, I can't put FDR on. Anyway, whatever.
Kleenex is a brand name.
Any
okay, back to the game.
You have any guesses or not?
I got nothing.
Nothing?
No, nothing. Nah?
New recruits or vehicles?
Huh.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Like vehicles, I understand, but new recruits I found very interesting.
Oh. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
All right, question number 7. In 1956, which artist released the single Tutti Frutti?
Sean.
Sean.
Little Richard.
There you go.
Goddamn nice. Right.
All right. Question number 9. Walt Disney recalled his first celluloid, the Donald Duck toys, because they what?
Recalled, you said?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
The first Donald Duck toys be
Forest.
Forest.
It caught on fire randomly.
Yeah, burst into flames.
Wow.
Yeah, what's a good reason to recall something?
Holy cow.
Yeah. I was going to say,
you pulled that one out of your butt. I mean, that just came, you know.
Yeah, question number 10.
That was good. Here we go.
If either one of the boys get this right, they tie Camlin.
Ooh.
And prevent her from winning.
Oh.
All right, here we go.
Good luck.
What's the only U.S. state to have never banned prostitution?
Sean.
Sean.
Nevada.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And Forrest is left in the dust.
That was implied. I mean, it didn't need to be said, and I think that's rude and should be added to the list. Good. GG.
As the snow flies.
Aww.
On a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto.
Alrighty, guys. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed today's show. We had a blast doing it for you guys. Don't forget, show website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is yourweeklydose.
Got to hear her voice.
Facebook is yourweeklydose. Twitter and Instagram is at yourweeklydose1.
Hey, my feature film, Free Lunch, has a new website, freelunchthemovie.com. You can check out our film that we're finishing up right now at freelunchthemovie.com.
Catch me on Instagram at Camlin Jackson and TikTok at It's Camlin Jackson.
All right, and guys, if you want to follow me on any social media, it's just simply Sean R. Unplugged. And don't forget, guys, you can listen to us on Del Marva Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings. All of our past shows are there. And also on Lime City Radio at noon, Wednesday through Friday. And, of course, catch us live here every day. Not every day. Good Lord. Every Saturday. Jamie, I wish we could do it every day.
Saturday.
Every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on both of those networks. And also at 10 a.m. on Pacific Standard Time. And go out and listen to Elvis. Listen to Lisa Marie, listen to some Jeff Beck, just listen to some good music, people, because we are losing our legends fast, and it is so scary. In the meantime, go out and have a good time, enjoy each other, be good to each other also. We'll catch you guys next week.
As the crowd gathers round, an angry young man face down in the street with a gun in his hand in the ghetto.
As her young man died,
as her young man died, on On a cold and gray Chicago morning, another little baby child was born in the ghetto.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.